this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord, Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and, of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, about looking at the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. When we polish up those lenses in a new manner, we call it Armadoxy, and we invite you right now, kick back, listen in. We're going to be taking some steps, big steps, little steps, all in a positive direction, all in a forward direction. This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and brought to you by the cool folks at epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Well, at least today I know it is expanding. No question about it. I may have a question about it next week, but it is expanding. Did you catch the broadcast last night? If not, it is worth going into our archives and checking it out. We had with us Dr. Petros Melikian. He was visiting a professor in Indiana, and he was so gracious to give a lecture at our youth ministry center last night. And we had people from around the world joining us on the stream and chiming in with questions, and he gave some great, great answers. I mean, it got me to thinking, especially in preparation for today's podcast, where I did promise we'd be doing a second portion of the Saint Mary, like talking about some world issues, women issues. He took a group of American students to Armenia. Now, this is not Armenian Americans. This is American students with no ties to Armenia before he took them there. And their eyes were open. I can't tell you how fascinating it was to hear some of their responses. In fact, he gave us a blog site, and we will definitely put a link on our show notes today. You want to check it out, but it really would have a lot more meaning if you did check out his lecture. It's on epostle.net at the broadcast tabs. Do check it out. We broadcast. Where did we do that, Susie? Was that on our... Okay, it was on our Questions of Faith channel. Now, you know, we broadcast on Questions of Faith, our Bible studies. I think in September we're starting our third or fourth year of broadcasting, this 20-year project all coming together and being streamed over the internet. But last night Petros was on there. And also we were very happy to say that he was in Armenia celebrating the 10th anniversary of the National Leadership Institute. And if you go back a couple of years, I visited there in 2009, had a chance to meet with many of the students and the leadership there. Fascinating group of people who, despite the odds, this is in post-communist times, post-Soviet times, after 70 years of atheism, here's a group of young people putting their faith into action by getting out into the streets, by getting out into the villages. And just a couple months ago, when we did our fast for Darfur, they joined us. They actually joined us. There's a little session that we had. We Skyped together. This was, to me, it is really the building blocks right now. The building blocks of taking Armenian Orthodoxy and building a faith that I know Jesus Christ blesses daily, because I think it is really what he intended. I mean, his message was not something to just take and keep in a little church. His message was a message of love, a message of peace, a message of hope. And that is not something that you just keep in one place, but you actually deliver it. You deliver it to a world that needs love, peace, and hope. And so I'm just very excited about having Petros with us. Let me share with you a couple ideas that he threw out at us last night. He was taking a group of Americans to not only Armenia, but they also went into Karabakh. And they had a chance to meet with the primate of Karabakh, Archbishop Barkev, and they also had a chance to meet with the prime minister there and share some ideas. But I mentioned Archbishop Barkev because here's an interesting one. I'm going to throw it out at you because it's almost like a koan, like a Buddhist koan. And you need to struggle with it. You need to riddle. It's a riddle that you need to really struggle with. And whether you meditate on it, whether you think about it, the answer is really within. And apparently a group of these American students turned to Archbishop Barkev and asked, who is going to win? As you know, Karabakh is in this major struggle right there. You've got this land which belongs historically to the Armenian people. In the early 20th century, it was divided up by, I believe it was Joseph Stalin, and the Azeris took claim of it, and it is in a territorial dispute, although the majority of the people who are living there are Armenian, and there's been bloodshed, and people have fought for it, and it continues. The struggle continues even right now. There's little patches and fires that always come up, that are always kindling and ready to explode. And someone asked the primate, who is going to win at the end? And the primate answered, God. And Petros, in relaying this story to us, he mentioned that the primate didn't even hesitate for a moment. Archbishop Barkev didn't even hesitate for a moment to search for an answer. He said, God is going to win. Now, think about that for a moment. Who's going to win? The Armenians, the Azeris? God is going to win. It is a coin. I'm not going to... Don't do that. No, don't do it. I know the answer. People raising their hand. No, think about it for a moment. Just let it fester inside of you. It is a wild answer. I was kind of, I have to tell you, when I first heard the story last night, I was kind of turned off. I was saying, what a cop-out that is. You know, what do you mean God's going to win? You know, there's people dying. There's people. But think about it more and more. That's all I want to share with you about that particular story. In general, the attitude that the Americans had in Armenia, these were a group of people coming from a Wesleyan college, you know, Methodist college where a lot of liberal arts and a liberal approach to education. I was very pleasantly pleased to hear that that takes place in Central America, that kind of open-mindedness. And, well, like I said, you know what? Let me put a link to the blogs on our show notes today. Do check them out, and maybe we could find some time to discuss in more detail. Do check out the video. I know so many people tuned in last night. If you didn't get a chance to tune in, it is archived at epostle.net. I believe you go to the broadcast tabs, and it's there, Questions in Faith. It's the last entry. And of course, in September, we're going to be continuing with that series as well. Hey, listen, we are here today, right in the middle of this week in preparation for the Assumption of the Virgin Mary. Oh, it is a beautiful time. We are continuing. Actually, if you tuned in last week, you've got the prelude to it. But I'll do a summary. Not too much, but I've got so many responses to last week's podcast. It was very interesting because especially the last portion where I dropped off and I said, we're talking about some human rights, about trafficking, about human trafficking, about domestic violence, and these issues that have to be played in with the story of the Blessed Virgin, because it is not just an issue of Saint Mary living 2,000 years ago, but it is about a Saint Mary that is inside of us, that is a call to us to bear Christ, to be the Theotokos today, to be the Astvazazin today, to bear Jesus Christ in our lives today. And that is a wild concept that I want to develop on today in a different manner, because we're going to be looking at the tradition of grape blessing. Yes. Why not? Yes, the little grapes are there. We hear it through the grapevine. Now we're going to be talking about the tradition of grape blessing, how it fits in with the Feast of Assumption, why it fits in, and a very special message to all of us. We're going to be continuing on topics that we left off last week, and we're going to bring it together with a very special bubble. I've asked Ani to do a very special bubble. It is one of my favorite stories, and I want to leave you with that bubble today as something to contemplate, because in the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at it. We have gotten a lot of email right about this idea of, like, how do we talk about the institution? What do we do the institution? And I appreciate all of the thoughts that we've had. And I want to, well, I won't say anything more. Let Ani speak for herself. That bubble's coming up in a few minutes. Right now, we kick off every week with the Song of the Week. Here is a special one I selected, I thought, on the occasion of St. Mary. How about one from Eric Clapton? What? Yeah, Eric Clapton. I actually got the chance to see him in concert just a few months ago. He was in Los Angeles. Wow! Kind of waited a lifetime to see that. I gotta tell you, that was really one of my first big heroes. I remember in 1969, I know, back ancient, you know, when the dinosaurs were visiting the Earth, and then they got extinct, I don't know for why, but what reason. But anyway, when the dinosaurs were around, there was a new band coming up and around that was so fascinating. It was called Cream. And Eric Clapton was the guitarist. He had just gotten out of the Yardbirds and, well, you know, his history. And I remember being in a parochial Armenian school, and one of my friends, who was not Armenian, was the bad guy, you know, because he wasn't Armenian, had this magazine, and in it there was an article about Eric Clapton. And the principal came over, and he snatched it from my hands, and he looked at it. And he just, the look on his face and, like, the fear that it brought to my heart. Like, oh, what's he going to find in this article about Eric Clapton? Anyway, long story short, nothing. It was a story about Eric Clapton. Anyway, here's a song called Holy Mother by Eric Clapton and another voice you will recognize. You will definitely recognize along the way. Something a little different for this week of the Holy Assumption of the Virgin Mary.
Holy Mother, where are you? Tonight I feel broken in two. I've seen the stars fall from the sky. Holy Mother, can't keep from crying. Get me through this lonely night. Tell me, please, which way to turn to find myself again. Holy Mother, hear my prayer. Somehow I know you're still pain. I can't wait. dying in.
Say within your
a bit different. Holy Mother, that is Eric Clapton, of course, and the mystery guest, Luciano Pavarotti. Yes, you guessed it. I just had to roll that R the way he did in that song. Wow, that was neat. Well, that is off of an album called Pavarotti and Friends for War Child, and we'll make sure that there's a link on our website today so you can check not only that song out, but all of the beautiful songs that are on that album. And, of course, this begins the final days of countdown for the Assumption of the Virgin Mary. This is a beautiful tradition in the ancient churches, in Catholic and Orthodox, and, of course, in the Armenian Orthodox Church. It is to recognize how the Blessed Virgin was assumed into heaven. And in as tradition teaches us, Bartholomew, one of the apostles, the actually very dear to the Armenian people, because Bartholomew was the one who actually came to Armenia following Saint Thaddeus. But Bartholomew was absent in Jerusalem when the Blessed Mother went to sleep, when she finally was laid to rest. And when he returns to Jerusalem, he asks to see her body, and of course it is not there. And the tradition begins that she was assumed into heaven because of her very special role in the salvation process. And as you know, there are groups right now that are trying to make her much more than that actually necessary for our salvation today, is to be able to worship her. But in the Armenian tradition, as I went through quite a bit last week to emphasize this, she is never worshipped in the Armenian church. She has a special place among the saints. And in fact, if you walk into any Armenian church, you see her picture, the icon, right at the center of the altar. It is her in presentation of the Christ child to the world. In presentation of the Christ child to the world, because here God takes form, takes human form through this virgin. And this story is the one that needs to be focused on, because it is a process that you and I are invited to. See, saints are okay. If you want to read history, that's great. You know, take a course in history. You can learn about all these people. But as people of faith, we're called to a higher calling to not only take that story, but actually apply it to our lives. Well, you say, well, how do I apply that to my life? If God came and talked to me today and said, from you will be born Jesus Christ, of course I would say yes, the way Saint Mary did. Well, God's asking us every single day. God's asking us right now. He wants Jesus Christ to be born from us. He wants love to be born from us. And those of you who have been following these podcasts, you know that the primer that I've always spoken about, Nerses Shnoradi, gives us that primer in the 29th verse of Aravod Luso. 29, the 2 and the 9, you know, it's connected with the 7 there. Anyway, that's a long story too. Yeah, 2 from 9. 7, yeah. The 29th verse, Seranun Jesus Christos. The name of love is Jesus. God's asking us to bear Jesus every single day. He's asking us to bear love. He's asking us to walk out there and share our love with one another. It's not a story from 2,000 years ago. It's a story right now. He's asking us to be the Theotokos, to be the Asvadzadzim. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, please check out last week's archive, the last week's podcast. It's in the archives. Number, what are we at? 160, one number 165. Check it out. You know why? Because this is a story about you and me. The assumption points to you and me. And that's why I said, it's not a question of just making St. Mary something bigger than life. It's you and I are called. We are called to this invitation to bear Christ every single day. And hence we get the story of the great blessing. Now, let's be really honest. I told you a few weeks ago when we celebrated Vartavar and the Transfiguration. I mean, think about that for a moment. In Armenia, it is humid. It is hot in the middle of summer. People are looking for relief. And so in ancient times, they would search for water. In fact, right today, in today's news, you will find articles about the drought in Texas, one of the largest states in the United States. They are suffering through a drought. And so what are people doing? They're getting on their knees and they're praying for rain. This is happening right now, 2011. Well, it's no different 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. It was hot, humid. They were searching for water, and hence began this tradition of looking for the water, praying for the water. And you have this feast dedicated to the heathen goddess Aslig. And it was a water feast right in the middle of summer. And when St. Gregory came and converted the Armenian people to Christianity, a lot of those heathen practices were difficult to get rid of. So he put Christian feasts on those heathen festivals, much like Christmas is now on December 25th, right? Because it was the feast of Saturnalia, because of the birth of the sun, S-U-N sun, the winter solstice. So they changed the date to December 25th to coincide with the heathen practices and somehow get people's mind off of that. Same way, St. Gregory the Illuminator decided that, you know, right in the middle of summer, along with this water feast, Vartavar, they would add this, they would bring in the Christian festival of the Transfiguration. And so we talked about that a few weeks ago. Now we are here at this next feast day, the Assumption of St. Mary. And we have the tradition of blessing grapes. Well, from ancient times, people would bring their first harvest to their place of worship in an offering, in a gesture of thanksgiving. And that's all this is. It's an offering of thanksgiving. People would bring their first fruit. And obviously in Armenia, during August, mid-August, the grape crops would arrive at market. I remember my grandma telling me back in pre-genocide times. She was 15 when the genocide happened. And I remember my grandmother telling us stories about how when she was a kid, they would go out there and they would pick the grapes, and they were forbidden from eating any of the grapes, despite picking them from the fields. They'd have to take them to the church and get a blessing, and then it was okay. So up until August 15th, they would not touch the grapes. And interestingly enough, my grandmother's name was Marie, a derivative of Mary, of course. But here's the interesting thing. My grandmother had four sisters, and all of them had, excuse me, she was one of four sisters, and all of them had a name of the Blessed Virgin. One's name was Lusaper, means the bringer of light. The other was named Sirpuhi, which is the feminine of Saint Surp, Sirpuhi. And the fourth one was Dirui. Again, a feminine for Der, or it would be, I guess, the priestess. And so all four of them, Mari, Dirui, Sirpuhi, and Lusaper, were in reference to the Holy Virgin Mary. And it was fascinating for me that in one family you would have four children, four daughters, all dedicated to the Holy Virgin Mary. But then you realize that throughout Armenian tradition, here was the archetype of what motherhood was, of what womanhood was. That's it. That's the key. Because remember, as children are born, they enter into their patterns of who they are. It's not a question of just motherhood, but it's a question of being the ideal woman. One that says yes to God, to the will of God. And so we have many, many names in the Armenian tradition that are directly connected to the Virgin Mary, including from the ones that I mentioned. You could also add to it Makruhi, for instance. Makruhi means the pure one, the clean one. Iskuhi, the real one, the authentic one. And there's a whole bunch of these names. Now, all of them point to a person in history, Saint Mary, but all of them give us the idea that we need to continue that tradition by saying yes to God, by saying yes to love, that we are the bearers of love. And it is probably most pronounced in this service of great blessing, which has now been Christianized from the heathen practice, has been Christianized through the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us this analogy of the vine. It comes to us from the Gospel of John chapter 15. Now let's take a look at it. It says, this is Jesus saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Wow. What a beautiful picture that is. Jesus is the vine, and then every branch that's connected to it has an opportunity to bear fruit. If it doesn't bear fruit, it's really not useful, is it? But if it does bear fruit, it's pruned so that it bears even more fruit. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, obviously, right? If a branch is not connected to that vine, what can it do? If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. He finishes off this very powerful analogy and story by saying, this is my command. Love each other. Okay, what do we need here? Do we need a truck to hit us before we figure out that, wow, this is it? How basic is this? How simple is it? And this is why my argument, sometimes when you want to get into this whole thing about institutions and how we have who wears a collar, which shirt is black, who wears the purple shirt, how many jingles on a censer, how many people should be up at the altar, why aren't women allowed at the altar, what's going on? These are all secondary, tertiary questions that need to be answered. The bottom line is, love one another. Love each other. This is his command. And so now you have to be part of that vine. Each of us is invited to be a part of that vine. And if you think about it very basically, you are a branch. I am a branch. We are all branches on that vine. If we're connected to the vine, then we have nutrition. We get the nutrition and we bear much fruit. Now, what happens when we're disconnected? Well, we may have fruit on us. It depends at which point we get disconnected, right? Suppose it's today. We have fruit on us, but we're disconnected from the vine. Well, that fruit is still delicious. That fruit is still luscious. It still has that, how shall we say, that je ne sais quoi quality. But it's dead. It's dead. It can no longer produce. That branch can no longer produce. So whatever fruit it does have on there, what happens? It just dries up. We call that, chomich, we call that raisins. That's all. They're just wrinkled old fruit. Wrinkled fruit. Now you have an option. Do you want to be the branch that is bearing luscious fruit? Or do you want to be the branch that's just wrinkling up and shriveling up and being thrown away? I opt for the first one. I know all of you do too. And the way you do that is you remain on the vine. And that vine is the vine of love. That vine is Jesus Christ. The name of that vine, the name of love is Jesus Christ. Stay on that vine. And when you stay on that vine, then you start producing. You're pruned and you get only better. You produce better fruit. Luscious fruit. Delicious fruit. That's what Jesus says when he says, "This is the will of my Father, that you bear much fruit." And these aren't things that I'm making up. It's right here. Visit Scripture. Visit Holy Scripture. John chapter 15. It's right there. And so this is the tradition that we have in the Armenian churches, in the Armenian Orthodox churches, of blessing grapes. It's not a question of just, hey, let's go to church and pick some grapes. No, it's a question of understanding what that grape is in your life, in my life. And now what's important about it is not to stop there. And that's where I'm going to transition now. I told you we have a very special bubble. It's a very dear story to me. It's one that I've asked Ani to prepare for us today because it's going to be really a place from which we're going to start off for the next few weeks too. I know there's been a lot of people asking questions about the faith and the institution. Let's start off with this bubble. Here's Ani with today's Spiritual Bubbles.
Today's Spiritual Bubble is a story of the man from Ik. Once there was a town called Ik. The people of Ik had a problem. They were icky. For some reason, everyone who was born in Ik ended up icky. Scientists, doctors, experts from all over the world had tried to analyze the people of Ik, and although they all agreed that the people of Ik were icky, no one could agree on a cure. In fact, there was no cure. The scientists, doctors, and experts agreed that the only thing they could ever do would be to give people suggestions on how to cope with their ickiness. But experts or no experts, everyone learned to cope in his or her own way. Some pretended that they weren't icky. Some tried to keep busy and forget their ickiness. Others decided that being ickier was better than not being icky, and so they got ickier. Some just didn't care. Usually, if you were able to get a person from Ik to be honest, he or she really didn't like being icky. Well, you can imagine how many people arrived in Ik with a cure for ickiness. And you can imagine how many people were always willing to try and teach a new cure that came along. And strangely enough, some of the cures seemed to work. For a while. But eventually, the cure would stop working, and everyone would be icky again. One day, something happened that would radically change the people of Ik. A longtime resident of Ik began to suggest publicly that he had a cure for the ickiness. It was very difficult for the people of Ik to believe that a person who lived in Ik himself could have a real cure for the ickiness. But then, something strange happened. One of the ickiest people in all of Ik believed in this cure and was changed. He simply wasn't icky anymore. Everyone thought it was just temporary, and they waited. But it didn't go away, And before long, lots and lots of people started believing in the man from Ik, and everyone who believed was cured. It was incredible, and one would think that the people of Ik would be overjoyed, but the people weren't overjoyed, and soon a town meeting was called. The fact of the matter was, the business community of Ik had been built around the basic principle of people's ickiness. And with more and more people losing their ickiness, the economic future of Ik was threatened. After an extremely heated discussion, it was generally agreed that what appeared to be a cure for ickiness was probably like all the other so-called cures and would soon turn out to be a hoax. Since so many people were being misled, and since it was possible that many more people could be misled, and since the person who would perpetrate such a hoax could affect the stability of Ik, the Savior was asked to leave. He refused. He continued to cure people, and each day those responsible for the stability of Ik became more and more concerned. One day, the Savior of Ik disappeared. It caused quite a commotion, and no one to this day knows what happened. Some say he'd been done away with. Others say they actually saw him the day after he disappeared. What was strange was that, even though the Savior was gone, people who still believed in him and his cure would suddenly find their ickiness gone. And even though the majority of the townspeople agreed that the Savior was, in fact, a hoax, all of those who had believed in him were still cured. The people who had lost their ickiness thought everyone would jump at the chance to be cured. They were sadly disappointed. Very few were even interested. And so the ex-icky people did what they could to convince the icky people that the cure was not a hoax, and every once in a while, someone would believe. Apparently, and this is only hearsay, a small group of ex-icky people began to worry that if they or their children associated too much with the icky people, they might get contaminated or become icky again. It wasn't long before those people banded together and moved to the top of Ik Hill, an isolated spot on the edge of town. They would work, shop, and go to school in downtown Ik, and then return to Ik Hill for their evenings and weekends. But it wasn't long before the people of Ik Hill became so fearful of contamination that they built their own school, their own market, gas station, and shopping center. A few more months went by, and one morning, the people of Ik woke up to see Ik Hill covered by a large glass bubble. Ik Hill was now a completely self-sustained community, with everything completely under control. One particularly cold morning, an icky person in the city of Ik noticed that there was no visible activity inside the glass bubble of Ik Hill. A rescue party was sent to see if everything was all right. After breaking through the glass bubble, they were shocked to find the entire population of Ik Hill dead. Autopsies were ordered, and the cause of death was the same for all. Suffocation. This is your spiritual bubble from the Mystery Files of Ik Hill. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Oh, holy schmoly, what a beautiful story. I love it. Oh, the icky people, they make the bubble and then they die of suffocation. Ah. I like that. And that's the platform from which we're going to be jumping off in the next few weeks, right? You've been talking about institution. We've been talking about how important is this message that we do, what we do over here, this idea of armadoxy, of bringing it down to really the simple message that Christ spoke. And, you know, you strip away the institution and, maybe you get some fresh air. Maybe that bubble goes away. Maybe you can breathe so you don't die of suffocation. I mean, so many times what happens in religion is that the institution becomes more important than the message that is being given. In fact, last night at the lecture, do check this out. Last night when we were at the Petros Malikian lecture, Dr. Dekmejian, who teaches political science at the University of Southern California, was there. And he made an interesting observation of the disconnect between the mysticism of the East and the hierarchs that are basically trying to preserve mysticism without really engaging in that mysticism. Very, very interesting observation and discussion that pursued right afterwards. So you do want to check that out. But today we're going to be just beginning the icky story, you know, the bubble that goes away, the bubble that is suffocating. Well, what we do here at Epostle, what we do through In His Shoes, is really bring it down to the message that Christ is speaking, walking in the shoes of others. And Epostle is a way of getting that message out. Now that is a nice transition, isn't it? Here's Susie to tell us what you can do to get involved in this process.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. We thank you for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting, and we're proud to tell you that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The next step is entering homes, workplaces, and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion to a waiting world. We appreciate your responses to this message and always look forward to your words of encouragement. You can address your comments to feedback@epostle.net or via our website at epostle.net. Every week consistently for the past 4 years, we have brought the next step to you as a gift. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. You may also mail a check to Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center to 632 West Stalker Street, Glendale, California, 91202. Please be assured that your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, please take a moment to tell your friends about the next step. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, as well as on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. We're excited about this ministry, and we invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie. A nice reminder that, you know, all of this works because of your prayers and your donations, your constant feedback with us. And one of the ways is through your donations. I appreciate all of the feedback that we get. And really, this is where we're going with we're being feedback driven. People wanting to know a little bit more about the church, the institution. And of course, beyond the institution is the message. And that's where really we're going to be what we're going to be doing with the last portion of today's show, because and that was the whole purpose of this man from Ick story. It's at what point do you realize that the message is important? At what point do you realize that the institution needs to be served? Obviously, there's something to be said about the institution. It becomes a means by which you can promote the message, right? I mean, Christ has a very simple message of love your neighbor, of love one another. Well, through the institution. And we're not discounting the institution, obviously. Obviously, you yourself cannot put together a school. But by coming together with a few friends, with some people of like mind, you can put your resources together and you can build a school. You could build a hospital. And that's what really churches have done in the past, right? They've been responsible for education, for health services. People have come together and rallied around the same feeling, the same faith, and they have built structures, institutions. And I'm not discounting that institution, but at some point you realize that when you start isolating yourself, once the bubble goes up, you are in danger of dying of suffocation. And so many times this is what happens within institutions, that they fail to look beyond themselves, fail to realize that they have a purpose. And I think the failure comes when they are disconnected from the vine. Okay, it all comes back to the grape blessing. They are disconnected from the vine. Once you realize you're connected to the vine, you have no option but to produce good fruit. So at some point when the institution says, yes, we are a church of Jesus Christ, and therefore we must help others. So we will have a homeless project. We will have a hospital project. We will have an education process by which new members can learn about what the faith is. Okay? That's connected to the vine. But then all of a sudden, what happens is people come in and they say, okay, now you need to recognize my contribution to this process. And so here is a donation. And someone else comes in and says, I cannot donate, but what I will do is I will give land, but make sure you put my name. And all of a sudden, those names and those services become more important than the message it is serving. And you see this throughout. You see this not only in the church, you see it in all kinds of institutions, where all of a sudden serving the institution becomes more important than serving the message. And of course, this is not unique to the church. I'm talking about the church because that's in the scope of this podcast. That's what we discuss over here. But it's true in every institution. At some point, there's a disconnect. And when that disconnect is very real, I mean, when you are not connected to the branch, you are not connected to the vine, which has its roots, you're not getting the nutrition. You're not able to produce the fruits that you're supposed to be producing. And certainly in the church, you see this all the time. I mean, look at the scandals within the Catholic Church, within the Roman Catholic Church, and we say, oh, that's too bad, look at them. But it's true in every church. It's true in every church. It may not be child abuse, but it may be some other kind of abuse. It's when there's a disconnect from the vine. In our discussion today, we've been talking about St. Mary. And last week, I left you with a lot of ideas of women issues throughout the world. You've got to think about like how women have been excluded from the life of the church. Sure, raise money, come over here and sing in the choir, but you're basically excluded from the administration, the body that is responsible for that institution. So how can there be a fairness? I mean, you think about like the evolution, the history of women within the church. I mean, think about in the first century. You've got the most prominent one, Mary Magdalene in Holy Scripture, who's really becomes one of the apostles. She becomes the apostle of the apostles. She's the first person to witness the resurrected Lord. That's wild, huh? She's the first one to experience, to see the resurrection of Jesus, and is told to go out and tell it to the apostles. During the first century in Holy Scripture, we read of deacons, Phoebe. That's a woman. St. Paul refers to workers, fellow workers. In his ministry, he refers to Phoebe, of course, and he refers to Prisca, Tryphena. I mean, these are people in Romans. Check it out. Fellow workers. Sometimes they're referred to as deaconesses, but they're basically deacons. There's no reason to call them a deaconess. So let's focus in on Armenian history, Armenian church history. You've got the founders of Armenian Christianity, basically the action that was taken by St. Gregory the Illuminator in converting the Armenian nation, it's become such a cliche, hasn't it? This most heard statement that Armenia is this first Christian nation. Well, why? Because of women. In particular, because of a young girl named Hrepsime who refused the advances of a king, because of Gayane, another woman, Mother Superior, who stood and protected Hrepsime from the advances of a king, and the king became violently ill, because of the king's sister who had faith and believed in St. Gregory the Illuminator, because of the king's wife, Ashren. So you've got all these women around this one king, Dertad. Support system, there you go. And you've got the action of St. Gregory the Illuminator taking place because of the actions and decisions of these women. And you go out throughout history and you find women in these supportive roles. And you come up to today. There's nothing really made. There's no major statement made about women in the East. I think in the West, you got the popes who every so often will talk about women's rights in the context of sexuality, right? They will talk about human rights in the context of taking away rights from women. You remember 1968, it was Pope Paul VI who reaffirmed the Vatican's prohibition of all artificial forms of birth control, no matter how compelling the circumstances. You remember Pope John Paul II, who affirmed the equality of women and men in his apostolic letter, noting that the essential role of women have played throughout Christian history and their value to the church, but fell short of actually giving them rights. And, you know, I mean, this is true. In the historic sense, men have those rights. Why are they going to give them up to women? In the Armenian church, interestingly enough, it was in 1995 by Catholicos Karekin I. He actually made some statements, and this is important. We'll definitely put a link on our show notes to this. But here is a Catholicos of all Armenians on the occasion of the United Nations Women's Conference in Beijing. He makes these statements. And this is important because this is part of history and you need to document, especially today when we're talking about institution, when we're talking about a Catholicos that sits today and is basically involved in the actual day-to-day life and struggle of not only the administration of the Mother See, but the actual Armenian Church. This might be interesting, a place where we can really kick it off, where we could talk about what's going on. Let me read this and I'll leave you with these thoughts. This is from Karekin I. He says, I heartily welcome all my sisters in God who are assembled in Beijing for the 4th World Conference on Women. I pray God that their deliberations may promote the women's growing participation in human life in today's world. And he goes down into 8 statements. We'll put a link, definitely, on our show notes. I'm just going to hit them briefly. It says, women are part and parcel, integral components of humankind. Their involvement in their respective society is of paramount significance for the betterment of the quality of human life taken in a holistic approach. Whatever God has granted to womanly human nature should be fully shared with all human beings without any kind of discrimination. Their grace is God's gift, and human beings and considerations of societal and sociological character should not prevent women from offering the fruits of that grace to all humankind. Very bold. Very nice. Number 2. Women have always been present and often very active in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the life of His church. The Armenian church tradition is eloquent in providing ample evidence of women's impact-making role in the life of the Armenian people all along the past 20 centuries. Be careful now. Number 3, the Armenian Church does not allow the priestly ordination for women. This attitude should never be considered as an attitude of discrimination. The Church follows the tradition with a capital T and has to respect that tradition. The questions of ordination of women has never emanated from the life of the Armenian Church. Well, that shows a disconnect, doesn't it? It's never emanated. I mean, you hear it all the time. Divorce and remarriage are allowed in the Armenian Church, but only on grounds of the teaching of the gospel. Number 5, the sanctity of human life is recognized above all consideration. Life is the gift of God and should be respected at all levels. Number 6, in Armenia of today, I rejoice by seeing the role of women in constant growth. Obviously, he hasn't seen any of the trafficking issues. He hasn't seen, he didn't see any of the issues that were taking place on the streets. He's just been there for a few months at the time of this writing, and we don't blame him. Obviously, he hasn't just had the fact-finding out there. Number 7, surely, the church is not a political institution. Political engagement is not its immediate and primary concern. Okay, and finally, number 8. I sincerely believe that the United Nations is rendering a greatly beneficial service to human life of today and for the decades to follow by enhancing the concern and the care of humankind for the advancement of women's role in human life. This is dated August 1995. This is Karakin the First of blessed memory. He went on to, he passed away in 1999, and the current Catholicos of the Armenian Church is His Holiness Karakin II, not to be confused. The one who I'm talking about over here made the statement in 1995. It definitely gives us a lot of food for thought. It definitely gives us a platform on which we can continue this discussion. So I hope that's what we did today, is give you a lot of food for thought as we come, as we celebrate the Assumption of the Holy Virgin Mary. I wanted to give you a lot of different angles. We're talking about the institution, the suffocation within that institution. We're talking about a means to relieve that suffocation. And that only means is by being connected to the vine which gives us Jesus Christ, which gives us love incarnate. We're going to be picking up right from here next week. I hope there was a lot of meat in it. I know I've got a lot of meat on the table right now. We'll be starting to slice away, take off some of the fat, get to the lean portions where we could put our teeth into it and really get some chewing going. I thought the metaphor was shoes, wasn't it? We're walking, taking the next step in these shoes, in step. This is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week. We do invite you to get to the Mothership In His Shoes and, of course, apostle.net, where you can find this podcast, all the podcasts. But more importantly, you can make your connections to our In Step with Christ ministry, to our Questions of Faith ministry, all kinds of things. That's at epostle.net. Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding and Electronic Universe. For Susie, our producer, for Ani with her bubbles, for Ken, our engineer, and a shout out to our good friends at the National Leadership Institute, celebrating 10 years. This is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.